Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Doug, we're finally here, man.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Could be some trouble in...
Could be?
Yeah.
No, there is trouble. Not could be, there is.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
For the win! Pack them up and send them home, Grant Napier!
Oh, boy!
28 games left. Coming to you from Golden 1 Center. And a release today by the Sacramento Kings to Marvin Bagley will be out for at least three more weeks. He will be reevaluated then after visiting a foot specialist. So this season of huge disappointment continues for Marvin Bagley, stepping onto the court for only 13 games. And again, an update will be provided in 3 weeks from now. Season ends on April 15th, by the way.
I don't like that. Season ending on April 15th, I'm going to start there. Marvin Bagley.
Was that because your taxes are due?
Nah, man, because I want to play more basketball
in
Napier. That's why. I enjoy basketball. I would like to play for as long as humanly possible. So April 15th doesn't end. You're probably right. My taxes are due. So that's a double whammy. Listen, you can't do anything with injuries. It's part of the game. It's part of I'm hoping that Marvin takes this as a positive. The negative side of it for myself, the fans, is we didn't get to see him develop this year the way that he needs. I'm not going to say want. He needs to. It's a necessity for him to take that next step. We've seen players like Steph Curry go through something like this, and you can say, oh, you can't look at Marvin like Steph Curry. That's not what I'm doing. They were both young players. They were both injured, and hopefully he strengthens his body to the point that it can take the pounding. Because one thing that we do know, Grant, big guys and foot injuries, that is not a good mix.
All right, the Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Again, 28 games left. The Kings, after this game, will head on the road for four games, beginning Saturday afternoon in L.A. against the Clippers. Then it's the Warriors on Tuesday, the Thunder on Thursday, and on Friday, the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I know there are some out there, I'm not one of them, that is still clinging to a Sacramento Kings playoff appearance. If you are one of the few, okay, I will tell you that the only way that this miracle could occur is by beating Memphis twice in this week, because Memphis is currently in the eighth spot. You are chasing Memphis, and these games basically count as two. So if you have any glimmer of hope.
Don't be Demi Downer, man.
You think the Kings are going to go to the playoffs?
No, but you know what Jesse Jackson said? Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
Who said that?
Jesse Jackson.
Really? Well, I don't agree with Jesse Jackson.
Okay? That's what I was just saying.
Okay?
You can keep hope alive.
It's probably not going to happen.
Okay.
I agree with reality. I agree with common sense. Okay? That's what I agree with. I agree with common sense. The Kings are not going to the playoffs. They are not mathematically eliminated if they lose tonight or they lose Friday to a team that is currently way ahead of them in the standings and in eighth. Okay, not happening.
So when the analytics say we're out. Is that what you're telling me?
When you're mathematically out, you're out.
Okay.
The Kings are not mathematically out.
Okay.
The
so,
Kings are gonna
but to your point, you can't lose to these guys.
Well, gee, did I not just say that? And now he's got to bring Jesse Jackson into the mix?
Hey.
What the hell does Jesse Jackson have to do with what I just said? He now agrees with me.
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
That's it.
Good. You keep the hope alive, and I'll continue to talk with some common sense on the radio. You keep your hope alive.
Oh, man.
You know, next thing you're going to tell me, the Mariners got a chance this year.
Well, they do.
We already know that even though they're not mathematically eliminated yet, they have no chance.
Come on, man. You never know. Listen, we might get some buzzers or something.
You're going to need a lot more than buzzers.
I hit it like it. No, I knew it was coming, Napier. You know what that feels like. Oh, man. Listen, Miami really pepped you up, man. You ripe
and ready. I need to get away for a couple days.
Yeah, well.
I'm ready to roll, huh?
I can hear it in your voice, man. Ah, it's all good, man. I said it yesterday. I want to see the Kings begin to take steps of consistency that injuries will take away from. But even with it, with or without injuries, there has been an up and down that I didn't like about their approach many times. Be smart. Play smart basketball. Understand when one of my keys tonight is realize. Realize that when your threes aren't falling, it's time to drive to the basket. Okay? Especially against a team that's number one in points in the paint. Because if they're getting 57 points in the paint and they're taking care of business and you're coming down and launching threes and missing them, you might want to pay attention and say, okay, we need to get inside. We need to drive the ball to the basket.
My goal, my wish list for the Sacramento Kings is to finish with at least 14 more wins from this point forward.
Okay? Yeah.
That would put them at 500 or better. That's what my expectations are. To me, if you can go 14-14 in these final 28, I think that's a good way to go into the offseason.
Yes, and, you know, with De'Aaron Fox beginning to, what I would say, get his feet underneath him, does he need to continue to improve the jump shot, free throws? Yes, but I like what I see with his aggressiveness starting out games, setting a tone. This is going to be a really good test. Ja Morant is one of the best up-and-coming guards that we've seen in this league in quite some time. So can the Kings come out, and is Jabari Parker? Will he get some minutes? What's he going to look like? But Bogdan, play that higher level of consistent basketball. Buddy Hield, just continue to do what you've been doing, because since you went to the bench, and that is not a demotion. I don't care. A sixth man is a highly, highly talented. Go ask the Clippers about Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell or Jamal Crawford or these type of guys. That is a valued position, and Buddy is doing it as good as anyone in the NBA right now.
No question. I think it's been a great situation for both the team and for Buddy Hield. So absolutely on that. Again, 28 games. I think, you know, again, realistically, I think if you can go 14-14 without Marvin Bagley, who, you know, again, I don't know if he's going to be back this year or not. I'm just going to say, I would say there's probably more of a chance that he won't than he will, but I'm not going to rule that out. Rashawn Holmes is still at least, you know, probably 2 weeks away. So, you know, you're going to have to go 14-14 with the present roster, which, as you said, now has Jabari Parker. Alex Len is questionable. Maybe they get into the mix. Maybe they give this team a lift. I'm really excited to see Jabari Parker play a couple minutes off the bench, because I know you, and I talked to Jerry Reynolds today as well. You guys both speak very highly about what he can do in that score of the basketball.
Listen, I've liked him for a long time. I know that the Kings went after him, I believe, when Chicago ended up signing him. But he is a nice scorer, especially anywhere around that paint. And I don't mean just necessarily posting up, but how Carmelo used to catch it on the block and nice turnaround jump shots, aggressive moves to the basket. You get it at the elbow, one dribble. He can dunk on somebody from that in nice little pull-ups. Now, the three ball isn't necessarily his game, but if he gets one going, he can knock that down. So with a scoring punch of what definitely Buddy Hield brings to the game.
Yep.
But you add that into your mix or into your repertoire, I think, I think I'm going to like it.
It's been a wasted season for Kyrie Irving. He's going to have shoulder surgery, and he will be out for the rest of the year. So now you can fast forward to October when both he and hopefully Kevin Durant would be coming back and see where the Nets go from there. I'm not a fan of Kyrie Irving. I did not think that was a good signing. I did not think that the Nets would be better with Kyrie Irving over D'Angelo Russell, because I thought Russell was a good fit for that team based on what I saw last year. And again, I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving is not a better player than Russell. What I'm saying is Russell was a really good fit on a Nets team that was a resurgent team last year. And I thought they were definitely, you know, heading in the right direction. And then they decide they're going to go in a different direction. And they sign a free agent Kyrie Irving. They go out and get Kevin Durant. And now they're going to have to wait till next year.
Yeah, they are, but I think that that's going to be a team that's in the mix in the Eastern Conference. I personally think that there are probably some guys, and when I say guys, I mean friends of Kyrie, friends of KD. They're going to want to come there and play with them, and they're going to need pieces just like the Clippers needed pieces and the Lakers needed pieces. And if you get the proper pieces around those guys, watch out, because what I see from Kevin Durant, we had someone, I don't care, who did we talk to yesterday?
Zach Harper.
That was talking. That was talking about if Kevin Durant comes back and he is Dirk Nowitzki, well, holy moly.
He's not going to be Dirk Nowitzki.
What do you mean by that?
He's just not. I mean, you guys are expecting something that's never happened before. You're expecting...
Hold on.
Dirk Nowitzki didn't have a torn Achilles.
No, he didn't. But Dirk Nowitzki never, ever in his life thought about moving like Kevin Durant before he got injured. Now, he shoots the ball as good as Dirk Nowitzki before he got hurt.
Great. I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay. Well, open your eyes, Napier. It's coming right.
I want to see the first guy.
5K, matter of fact.
I want to see the first guy in the history of the NBA come back from an Achilles and play like Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay.
All right. That's what I'd like to see.
So if we're saying Dirk Nowitzki, I'm talking like he's going to average like 25 points.
Excuse me, Kevin Durant's going to average 25 points?
Yep.
There's not a chance in the world.
Come on.
No chance.
Take his microphone, turn it off,
first of
step
all,
on it.
I want to
matter
see
of fact,
first
he
of all,
might average 27 points.
I want to see him play 50 games. To me, that would be a goal. If he can play 50 of the 82 games, I think then he will have had a good year.
Well, let me tell you, you heard it here first, Grant Napier. I'm telling you, KD, 25. He's on wake. He's going to get... You get 25 in the first damn half, man.
Well, then you obviously know something that I don't, because I've never seen a guy come back from an Achilles in 1 year and put up those kind of numbers and be that type of a player.
So book it.
So he's going to do something in his mid-30s that's never been done in the history of the game.
Book it. You heard it here.
Chris, you got this on tape.
You're
so
damn right,
this
Chris.
Back.
Matter of fact, record it twice like Tupac, Chris. Layer it over each other so it has an extra little kick to it. That's what we're looking at.
Chris, I'm putting it in the folder right now.
Get a Jesse Jackson speech and put it on the back end of it, too. All right, if you're going to do it, you know, Chris, if you're going to do it, let's do it.
Hey, I'm telling you, yeah. Grant. He's coming back 25 points a game. Mm-hmm. No doubt. I'm telling you. And you know what? The funny thing, you remember right after this happened, I said this, and you were like, Doug, what the hell are you talking? I said, I can't quantify it because you're right. It hasn't been done. I totally agree. It's about to happen.
We'll see when the NBA schedule comes out in August when the Kings will play the world champion Brooklyn Nets next year. All right?
Hold on. See, now you're going too far, because I didn't say anything about a world championship. I just said, listen, he might be on a terrible team averaging 25.
Every team's got a leading scorer. Every team's got
this
a leading
is true.
Scorer. That's why I'm not a huge fan of Trae Young. I think he's vastly overrated.
Man, 29 is 29.
Really? On the worst team in the Eastern Conference. So if he's so great, how come the Atlanta Hawks stink? And here's the other deal. Not only is he averaging what you say he's averaging, he plays the most important position on the floor. So why is it that the guy who everyone is going gaga over, okay, who averages how many points a game did you say?
29.
Okay. Who averages 29 points a game, who plays the most important position in the NBA, all right, which would be, by the way, point guard.
Yes.
Okay. Is the starting point guard on a team in the Atlanta Hawks that have the second worst record, thanks to the Cavaliers, at a blistering pace the Atlanta Hawks are at 15-41. Trae Young is overrated as they come in the NBA.
Okay. I'm not going to argue that is he a bit overvalued. Yes, probably, especially on the defensive end. The kid can shoot. They're going to have to put something around him. I think I could see that scoring come down to 20. And the wins go up. But you're going to have to put some pieces around him. You're not going to be able to get a 42-year-old or whatever it is, Vince Carter, and depend on these type of players. You got to get some actual piece. A young Vince Carter is my point. You got to get some pieces to put around the kid.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you are just joining us, Marvin Bagley will be reevaluated in 3 more weeks after seeing a foot specialist, and that would put you in the middle of March, which then would not give him a lot of time to get acclimated, practice, and get back on the floor. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. If you told me that Marvin Bagley would be back and ready to play and be a full speed on April 1st, go ahead, man. Get your sneakers, get your jersey, and let's go. And I want to see you play for even 2 weeks.
Listen, if he gets to be a 100%, go ahead. Let's go. Because these are valuable reps.
Yep.
I mean, regular season reps,
You can't duplicate it anywhere.
There's nothing that you can do. I mean, he plays some of the best pickup basketball with Rico Hines down at UCLA in the summertime. I mean, these are the best players in the world, okay? But it's not this. They go at it, everything. He's involved, but it's not the Memphis Grizzlies on a whatever night this Wednesday or whatever Thursday. It's not that. And there's nothing that you can do to replicate it. Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah.
PRP isn't a – I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It took my pain away. I was – you know, I got no cartilage in my wrist. But I
sure.
can function.
Right.
Everything. It doesn't solve the problem. If he goes back out and – because Kyrie had a shoulder injury earlier.
Yes, he did.
And now he's getting surgery.
It. Right.
And he re-aggravated.
Right.
That could – if something like that happens – that could be a step, correct?
Correct.
Okay. We're clear. Because I know we're on radio, and sometimes you say, Doug, you got to say that better so that people understand
what I said. No, I understand.
I think you made
yourself very clear.
Okay. That's part of the game, and it's part of trying to do what's best for Rashawn. But if you go out there and it gets whacked and something happens, the final step for him to make sure that he is as right as he can be is to do what Kyrie Irving
right.
did. Okay.
And as you know, because you went through this and you've told me the stories, as a athlete, you're going to try to do everything possible to avoid surgery.
Everything.
There is a negative in doing that, is it's time-consuming.
Yes, it is.
And if you get to the finish line and then you then realize, gosh, you know what? My rehab did not go the way I wanted it to, and I was not one of the guys that beat the odds.
Right.
And now I have to have surgery, and that happens in July or August. And then you can't play until the first of the year. And I'm just throwing arbitrary numbers.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mean that.
No,
all
because
of a sudden,
we had someone on that said it was. It could be as far as a 6 to 8 month rehab.
Right. Right.
So if that's the case, when did he do it initially? Do we remember?
I want to say he did it initially in January.
Okay. Which I wouldn't have said by it. Don't just go under. No, there's no way.
No
in
chance.
Hell. No.
Right.
Do not do that. So they've done everything. But you just don't know with these type of things. So it just came to me when you said Kyrie is like, that's a possibility. And if it is a possibility and it's 6 to 8 months.
But I don't know what the actual diagnosis
is
on Kyrie Irving's shoulder.
Right, true. You know why you don't know, Napier?
Because they didn't tell us.
Exactly.
And you want to know why they didn't tell us? Because they don't have to. And it's no one's business. That's why.
You are correct. So, I mean, this is we're tongue-in-cheek a little bit. But I'm just saying, when you said that about Kyrie, it hit me. I was like, you know, damn. And he has been the MVP, with the exception of probably what we've seen from De'Aaron Fox as of late. And if De'Aaron would have been here the whole season, you would have had him and De'Aaron Fox, and they're playing some hellified basketball. So, yeah, well, fingers are crossed, man. I need some healthy players out here on the basketball floor. That's what I want to see.
It was January 6th
okay.
that he hurt
February,
his shoulder, Rashawn
March,
Holmes.
April, May, June, July. Yeah, you make a valid point, because what you want for him, first of all, is to get healthy as soon as possible and to be able to play at the high level that he was playing and competing at.
All right, if you want to call the program, we welcome your calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, again, the words that the Nets are using are the same words that the Kings were using in terms of the shoulders. They are, both teams are calling it a shoulder impingement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
That's what we heard about Rashawn Holmes. That's what they're saying about Kyrie Irving. And who knows what that means? I don't know what that means.
I mean, impingement could mean a lot of different things. It could be labrum. It could be rotator cuff.
Right.
It could be, I mean, there's a lot that goes on in the shoulder. Or would you be of the – because I was talking to somebody and I just learned this. I didn't know this about hockey. Hockey says upper body or lower body. That's
yep.
it. Would you be a fan of
– You know what I'm a fan of? Let me know if the guys can play or not. I don't care. I really don't, and I really mean this. Let me know if the guy can play or not. Just let me know if the guy can play or not. And I don't mean, like, can he play or not in a month. Let me know for this week, okay? Let me know every Monday – or every Sunday night, if the guy's going to play this week. I'm fine with that. And if he can't, then fine. Then let me know the next Sunday. Can he play this week? Then let me know the following Sunday. Is he going to be able to play? All right? Is he doubtful? Is he questionable or probable to play anytime during those 7 days?
So no reference to particular.
Who cares? What difference does it make? I mean,
well,
I mean this.
Me as a competitor, I care.
Yes, that's my point.
I do.
Because you're going to attack that part. And guess what? You are absolutely stating the reason why teams should not get as specific.
And that's especially in hockey.
That's correct.
Because if they know that
they're
it's gonna, a right
they're
hip,
gonna,
they're
going
to nail it.
And so you just proved to me, and I think a lot of people, why you don't want to be super specific.
Yeah, I know when I played, I don't want Kobe and Shaq, and I don't want them to. They might see some tape on my wrist, but I don't want you to know why it's there. If I have a knee brace on,
that's correct.
Is it tendonitis or
right.
Do I have a bone chip?
And so fans talk about betting, and I get that.
That's going to be a big issue.
I can tell you, I've been doing the NBA for 32 years, and I'm at the meetings every single year, the broadcast meetings. We go over a lot of topics. This year is the first time ever that betting was talked
it was
to
a lot.
Us in a group. Right. So for that reason, teams, again, if I'm a gambler and I want to bet on a game, well, every day teams come out with the injury report.
Yep.
They're not lying about the injury report. They're telling you a guy's either doubtful, which is 25% to play,
right.
Questionable, which is 50-50, or probable, which means he has a 75% chance of playing.
Okay.
If you're betting on a game, then you have that at your disposal hours before tip-off, okay? Now, let me go a step further here because you just, to me, proved why teams should not be super specific. I talked about Carl Anthony Towns with Minnesota. He had an MRI.
Yes.
They know exactly what's wrong with his wrist.
Absolutely.
They said he has a left wrist injury.
Right.
Fans should not be entitled. I don't know why fans think that they're entitled to know every single injury with the specifics of a player. No, they're not. And so my retort would be, why do you think you're entitled? Like, why would a fan feel that they're entitled to know the exact nature of Carl Anthony Towns' wrist injury? They're not entitled to that. What gives them entitlement?
Well, you know, oddly, and we see this in movies. We saw it in movies where a guy would have a guy on the inside or a girl, and they would say, you know, he actually has a broken finger. And he's a gambler. This is like big-time information that no one knows. Maybe you know he's got a hand injury. You don't know what it is. But you know that it's like something serious like that. Okay, well, I'm sliding a little bit more on the table because chances are good that I might be able to make some money here. Those are the type of things. And when we talk about gambling, we're also talking about fantasy because that is a big one.
Well, again, that's why I would think, let me know on Sunday night, if a player is going to be out for the games for the next 7 days, let me know on Sunday. And then the following Sunday, let me know again. You know, and again, I think fans are so, they have such a sense of entitlement now. And I'm not talking about Sacramento Kings fans. I'm talking about sports fans in general around the country. Due to social media, due to the NBA, I think, also is partly responsible for this because they have a commissioner that talks about transparency with the final two-minute report and injuries. You know what? There has to be a line drawn in the sand somewhere when it comes to a player, their rights as it pertains to injuries. And so I am fully on board with saying left wrist injury, shoulder impingement. There's no reason to go any further, in my opinion, into depth. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that on Sports 1140 KHDK. Back with you on Sports 1140 KHDK. We're going to open up the phone lines for you at 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and we get to Fred. Hello, Fred.
Hey, good afternoon, Doug and Grant.
How are you?
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Go ahead. Yep.
All right. Hey, I'm going to keep this real short and simple. To be honest with you, to piggyback, right, first of all, I'm a Kings fan. To piggyback on the fans aren't entitled. Fans aren't entitled, but fans want to know what's going on. I mean, to be specific, Kings fans. And a lot of Kings fans are like, what's going on with Bagley? What's going on with Holmes? For one, everybody's acting because we're losing. We're losing games, and everybody's like, hey, what's going on? And that's just adding fuel to the fire. And when nobody's coming out saying like, hey, he's injured. This is what's wrong with him. Such and such, so on and so on. Then everybody's like, man, hey, what? Hey, so everybody's like pissed off. They're like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. And the team's losing. Now, if we were winning, and Bagley and Holmes got injured, then you wouldn't have so many questions. People calling up, saying, hey, what's going on? I want to know the trainer. Hey, you know, that's where everybody feel like they're entitled, as far as from a fan standpoint.
Yeah,
so,
but you can't only be nice with it when you're winning, man. That's not natural.
I know it's not even there, really, Doug. It's just like, it's not so much entitlement. Everybody was, even you guys were like, what's going on? We don't even know what's going on. And then when it came out, now it's like everybody has to like shut up and be quiet, and nobody's entitled. But everybody wants to know what was going on.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say. I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Well, frustration is part of, first of all, being a human, number one. It certainly is part of being a sports fan. Even when you root for a good team, if you're a 49ers fan, there was an immense amount of frustration after the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's part of being a sports fan, and I get it. And you have a 49ers team that went 13-3 after going 4-12, went all the way to the Super Bowl, and yet, you know, Kyle Shanahan can't coach. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a big-time quarterback. I mean, we can go on and on and on. It's part about being a sports fan. So
yeah.
I get when you see a player like Marvin Bagley, the easy thing to do is be ignorant and blame the medical staff. Well, that's just asinine. That's stupidity. But yet that's the society we live in today, and I get that.
Yeah, I totally get the frustration, but – no, I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I knew that, okay, one had a foot injury, one had a shoulder injury. To the level that people come back, because, I mean, I take Fox for an example. We, you know, as much as people are trying to down the staff, they're not also pumping them up because Fox was supposed to be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. But, hell, he was back on the court in 4 weeks. So, I get it. I get the frustration. When it comes to injuries, it's just it's hard to deal with. And to the caller's point, I get the fact that even with losing, that makes it even more. It's like, man, and we're losing too. So I get it.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's why I get back to what I said. Every Sunday night, let me know if a guy's playing this week. Just let me know. And then let me know again the next Sunday. And then I don't really need to know, you know, everything that's going on. I don't need to know, you know, that he saw, you know, 50,000 doctors. And, you know, just are you playing or are you not playing? Just let me know.
So every Sunday?
Every Sunday
break
night.
Break it down for Napier.
It'll
be fine.
I prefer it if it's going to be in the football season before the Sunday night game starts at 5:15. If you can let me know right before kickoff, that would help me out.
I got you. I think that we're seeing changes in our world in so many different ways. And Grant mentioned that at the league meetings, I've only been there for 2 years, so this was my second time. Last year, I was blown away by the type of care that they make sure that the fans get when they go to the games and everything that's involved in it. But this year, I would agree with Grant that there was more conversation about gaming and betting that I was like, wow, which lets you know that the NBA, this is going to be something that going forward, it's a huge moneymaker in the NBA as well as other sports are going to take full advantage of it.
All right, if you want to call the show, you can, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Speaking of the 49ers and football, it does look like that what we were talking about yesterday is going to come to fruition.
What's that?
Where they add an extra playoff team in each conference.
I'm with it, man. I think there's value in being, and I saw the games that would have been played this year had the new situation been underway in this particular playoff scenario, and it was interesting matchups. There is value in being the number one seeded team, and that value is you are going to get an extra week to rest. Everyone else, lace them up. Let's get ready to go. I don't know if I'm in on the 17th game. You already are having enough problems dealing with 16 games. You're adding another game, I get the revenue. I understand why the owners might want it. They're going to go back into the networks, and now I got more to sell you and all that. It sounds like they're going to cut the preseason down to 3 games. If you're going to add 17, I say do it like college. Don't have any preseason games. Let's lace them up and figure it out as we go.
I'd be fine with that.
I would, too. I mean, it means something right off the bat. You go through a tougher training camp, so guys are ready to go, and as soon as you hit the ground running. Yep. Give them the 17th game. I also, it sounded like everyone may get a game over across the pond. I don't know if that's
God,
gonna. Yeah, I don't know if that's gonna be something that's real or not.
Yep.
But Jacksonville won't be the only team every year anymore.
They're going twice this year.
Are they
yeah,
really?
Back-to-back weeks. Yeah, they gave up 2 home games because nobody cares about them in Jacksonville.
Really?
So they're going to, they're playing 2 games in London back-to-back weeks.
So you're not coming home? I wouldn't come home.
No, they're not. No.
Oh, yeah.
Staying there. Yeah.
Oh, man. Give me a flat over there. You know how that goes, Nate. You know,
right,
about, you know about the flats?
Let's get to JP. Hello, JP. How are you?
Pretty good, Grant. You guys, great topic we're talking about today.
Go ahead.
So, first off, credit that take yesterday talking about the Kings and comparing how many players we've had injured and for how long was incredible, because I'm one of those fans who has season tickets who's just frustrated, man, because I was super hype about this season and it sucked. And it definitely is not an excuse, but I definitely can take it a lot easier when you really just compare, you know, apples to apples. A lot of our best players have been out for a long time, and you know, that's why we're not doing too good. One thing I want to talk about, though, is the injury topic.
Yep.
I think, in a way, you're correct, but I think that a little bit more is what, as a fan, I feel like I'm a customer. I buy Kings personally. I watch cheap television, and so I feel like a customer to a company that is complete, like, they haven't disclosed information, so I don't think they need to tell us everything exactly that's going on with the players, but when we have no idea if it's 1 week, 2 weeks, is it a month, is it, you know, it's been a huge gray area, is why the fans are a little more frustrated. I don't think we feel empowered or entitled that we need to know everything specifically, but, you know, to your paying customer, you should give them at least some information to make them feel.
They are giving it. They are giving the paying customer information. They are. I don't know why fans think that they're not getting information. I just don't get that. They have been getting information.
Well, the biggest thing we hear is from on the radio, the frustration, you know, with Carmichael Dave or with you guys on the radio. And I think that's the lack of information. This is just frustrating, I think, overall, because we're losing. So I guess I kind of get that.
Yeah, and you know what, JP,
like,
you just hit it right on the head. JP, you just hit it right on the head because we're losing. And that's why. Because people want to just throw everything up against the wall and see what sticks. So they're going to blame everyone. They're going to blame the trainer. They're going to blame the doctor. They're going to blame, you know, the equipment manager. They're going to blame the broadcasters. They're going to blame this coach. They're going to blame that because they're losing. And instead of just really zeroing in on one or two of the real important aspects with the team, they go off on tangents and it gets carried away.
That works. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it. All right. Spencer is next. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, Grant. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So my question is for Grant and Doug. Jabari Parker comes over in the trade his first night. He's also been injured. Jumped around from team to team. I know the Kings have gone after him in the past. Do you see a future for Jabari Parker with the Kings?
I think he has 28 games to prove that.
About 28 games to prove that. All right, that's all I had to ask. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Doug and I will be right back. Your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140 on Sports 1140.
This is Sports 1140 KHDK. We do sports.
Let's get to some more phone calls. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140, and it's Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. I just want to let you know I started my trip here in San Jose. I'm currently in Fremont, still listening to KHTK all the way down here in the South Bay. Why is that important? Is because the A's lost their Bay Area headquarter flagship, and I'm still able to listen to KHTK. I'll be able to catch those games. I'll be able to listen to Kings talk instead of listening to Warriors talk, all on KHTK. You guys got to get your marketing involved, get some billboards down here, because people are fired up about the fact that the A's only went to the tune-in as far as the Bay Area centralized station. So I appreciate you guys. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we get to spread this listenership by way of the A's making that mistake.
I
think the A's can win the division this year. I really do. I think that, 97 wins back-to-back years. I think they got a very good ball club. Bob Melvin is a tremendous manager. They are solid. I don't know why they can't win the division this year. I know it's not going to be the Mariners. So that's one team you can eliminate before the season even begins.
Hey, man, all you need is some vibrating devices.
Yeah,
you'll
be luck.
All right.
Yeah. I could add on to that, but I won't.
I got Chris Verlaw back in the studio who's taking care of that for me.
Yeah.
Anything? We appreciate you, man.
Anything else?
Yeah. No, just like I said, just get some billboards up down here. Let's get this listenership up. And once the A's season kicks off, maybe we'll pick up a couple of extra Kings fans. Just let them know that they can get you through the airwaves way down here in the South Bay. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Don't you think the A's should have a very good season?
I really do, Grant. I think that, first of all, a good brand of baseball. I like how they do it. I definitely do. I think this is an opportunity for them to really clamp down and close in. I'm going to be interested to see what we're going to get from these Houston Astros, to be honest with you. What are they going to bring? Any slump, anything, this is all going to come back up. Oh, he was hitting like that because of this. And this is going to be an intriguing part of the season, especially right here with the A's and obviously my Mariners and playing those teams a lot. You're going to be able to, at least I am, I'll be paying attention.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I think the Astros are going to have a near impossible time repeating for a couple of reasons. This is going to be a year-long distraction.
Yes, it is.
To a point where I think it's going to be mentally grinding for every player. That's number one. Number two, Gerrit Cole. Their best pitcher is not there anymore.
Where's he at, Napes?
He's in New York, but you know what? Okay. I wouldn't have signed him. I told you that. I would have gone out and gotten three or four.
But you're
players.
Okay with it.
You know what? Not really. I'm really not okay with it. I told you that. I'm not okay with it. But I think the Astros are going to have a very difficult time, Doug.
I would agree. Not to mention, Grant, I mean, the mental grinding. I think that players, they're going to want to prove that this was – the doing of cheating. That's what they're going to want to prove. And with that being said, it's almost like your world champion, obviously, your world champion getting the best shot at every arena or every stadium that they go to. They're going to get the other team's absolute best.
Yep.
I'm talking dog days of the summer. It's not going to matter.
Yep.
They're bringing it because they want to prove that it was cheating that got you what you got.
How difficult do you think it's going to be for the players on the road, particularly the outfielders?
Oh, man.
I mean, can you imagine going into Yankee Stadium?
Woo!
Can you imagine going into ballparks that are full with rabid, crazy fans? Can you imagine what that is going to be like for the Houston Astros?
And that's why, listen, if they were to pull it off, man, give them their credit because that's next level. But I agree with you. The outfielders, Altuve and Correa at shortstop and second base, they're about the best spot that they can get because they in the infield and maybe the pitcher. But everyone else, relentlessly, they are going to be attacked. It's good, man. This is going to be some must-see stuff to watch it. I don't think that it's going to happen at spring training. I think, we're going to act a little civil, but I think once that regular season started, watch out.
You don't think it's going to happen in spring training?
No.
Why do you say that?
I think maybe from the fans' perspective, you may get a little from the fans. But even so, spring training isn't Yankee Stadium in, you know, packed to the hilt or.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a heavy, heavy drinking atmosphere.
Huh?
And I'm wondering how that's going to impact it.
That's interesting because, you know, down there with golf at the Waste Management, they getting it in down there. And it's not a golf environment when you're down there from what I see on television. You might have something there. Okay. Now you got me a little intrigued. Okay. I've never been to spring training. So I'm just thinking more than anything it's going to be regular season,
yeah.
Whether it's throwing at guys, brushing them off the plate, any and everything.
And, you know, they're not in the Cactus League. They're in the Grapefruit League. They play, I believe, in Palm Beach.
Okay.
So they're in the Grapefruit League of spring training.
Okay. All right. Well, hey.
Which I think actually helps them.
Yeah. Being away from here.
No, not being away from here. Have you ever been in spring training?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you go to spring training in the Cactus League, everything is super condensed. There are ballparks scattered within a 30-mile radius.
Oh, so it's all not at one spot?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah,
you have your own,
like, the A's are in Phoenix, the Giants are in Scottsdale, the Cubs are in either Mesa or Peoria. So you can go. That's the beauty of the Cactus League. Whereas in the Grapefruit League, it's over the entire state of Florida, basically.
Okay.
You can go from, you know, West Palm Beach to Tampa to Sarasota. Then you got to go up the coast to Fort Myers, inland. You know, I mean, you can go on and on.
Huh.
In the Cactus League, in the greater Phoenix area, it's not – everything is super condensed.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And so I think for Houston, it's better for just now being in one town where that's the only show in town. And, you know, again – like, if you go watch the Tigers in Lakeland, Florida, it's in the middle of the state. There's nothing near there.
Right.
You know, and again, I'm not as familiar with the Astros facility, but I think that's probably better for them.
Yeah, I think that you're spot on, Grant. I think that you hit it on the head, buddy.
All right, we will take a break. Doug and I will be right back here at the Golden One Center on Sports 1140 KHTK.